got a sprain or an itch, pain, rash, swelling, or twitch, call up and ask me, Dr. Lasky. I call up and ask me, Dr. Lasky.
Welcome to another edition of Hey Doc. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host for the next half hour. With me today is my co-host and wife, Carmen Lasky, a certified EMT. Together, we hope that you will find the show informative, educational, as well as entertaining. We're going to start off today's show with a brief talk on migraine headaches. There are several new medications that have shown great potential as treatment for these acute headaches. You know, for nearly two decades, a group of medications called triptans have been the go-to therapy for patients with acute migraine.
This group of medications works on the brain chemical serotonin, which helps quiet down overactive pain nerves. In other words, triptans reverses the changes in your brain that causes your migraine. Examples of triptans include Imitrex, Frova, and Emerge.
And although triptans can provide relief, they are associated with side effects like dizziness and fatigue, and other side effects including dry mouth, sleepiness, flushing, muscle weakness, nausea, tingling, even tightness in the chest, and possibly a skin reaction.
There is another problem with triptans. They are also contraindicated for several cardiovascular conditions, including uncontrolled hypertension and a previous history of heart attack or stroke.
Triptans have not been studied in individuals over the age of 65.
There are now new drugs, which include small molecule inhibitors against calcitonin, gene-related peptide known as G-pans.
See? Even scientists can be comics when it comes to naming drugs. G-pans have been shown to have fewer side effects and contraindications than the triptans. Also, lasmiditan is a serotonin receptor that is now FDA approved. It was initially discovered by Eli Lilly. It was then sold and then resold back to Eli Lilly.
However, the drug is awaiting the Drug Enforcement Administration's schedule before it is made available in the United States.
There is often a dilemma when it comes to research and research results. Over the past several years, there have been a lot of research done on the effect of anti-diabetes medicine called metformin. You yourself may be on it.
As a matter of fact, in 2016, metformin was prescribed over 80 million times.
This year alone, there have been studies showing how metformin prevents cancer, how metformin has no effect on cancer, and how metformin increases the risk of cancer. To give you a better idea on this, Carmen and I are going to briefly outline three articles, each with a different result concerning these effects.
The first article is titled Metformin Use and the Risk of Cancer in Diabetic Patients. It was presented in the magazine Cancer Prevention Research and published on November 12, 2009, a little over 1 month ago.
Researchers performed the study to determine the link between metformin therapy and cancer in adult patients with diabetes. The study sample consisted of just a little bit less than 67,000 adult patients with diabetes, including a little less than half diabetics and the rest acting as controls. Findings in this particular study revealed no link between metformin therapy and the risk of cancer in this patient population, even in the high daily dosage groups of metformin. Now let's go on to that second study. Again, one reported this year on the website diabetes.co.uk on January 15th, 2019.
As a word of introduction, the article describes metformin as the most common prescribed treatment for type 2 diabetes, which has consistently shown anti-cancer benefits in research studies.
It then goes on to describe the effects of metformin on the blood glucose level, while it also helps to reduce the amount of insulin produced by the body and therefore has wider benefits, including reducing cancer risk. Now, how does metformin work?
The article initials that metformin helps to improve the body and helps to reduce production of glucose by the liver.
With these two actions, metformin helps to reduce the amount of insulin the body needs to produce. Now we get to the explanation of how metformin affects cancer.
We know that insulin is the hormone responsible for moving glucose out of the blood and into our cells.
But did you know that insulin has another role? And that is in helping new cells to grow. And cancer occurs when new cells grow in an uncontrolled fashion. This can result in a tumor. Then, as insulin helps new cells to grow, the hormone can therefore accelerate the development of cancer.
With this in mind, the article then goes on to postulate that people with higher than normal levels of insulin circulating in their body are therefore at greater risk of cancer.
Now, following this train of thought, type 2 diabetes is most often characterized by higher than normal levels of insulin, and that raises the risk of a number of types of cancer.
According to this article, many research studies have demonstrated cancer and improved mortality rate among people with type 2 diabetes on metformin.
Researchers have observed that metformin appears to target the stem cells that can initiate cancer.
And finally, this month, the Food and Drug Administration, as well as other healthcare regulators, are investigating whether metformin has contamination of a cancer-causing chemical.
This is the same chemical that prompted a recall of the heartburn medication Zantac earlier this year. The bad boy chemical is N-nitrosodimethylamine, better known as NDMA. I remember when I was a teenager that a study was done on grilled hamburgers where the same chemical, NMDA, was found at the same level as that was found by the FDA in Zantac. This all started recently with the European Union drugs watchdog, EMA, who asked companies to test metformin medicines in the European Union for NDMA. This was its reaction to findings in Singapore of NDMA impurity in some metformin products.
Singapore's Health Science Authority recalled 3 out of the 46 metformin products tested.
Even the EMA described the risk so far as very low, urging patients to continue taking their medication because the danger of not adequately controlling diabetes was far higher. The Canadian health regulator did not find any metformin products containing NDMA above acceptable limits.
It has also asked companies to test their products and is collecting from them to conduct its own testing.
By the way, remember when I just stated that as a youngster, they had tested the hamburgers? Well, guess what the researchers did with the hamburgers after all those studies? They ate them. By the way, metformin is sold under several brand names, including Fortamet and Glucophage. The FDA continues to investigate whether metformin in the U.S. market contains NDMA and whether it's above the acceptable daily intake limit of 96 nanograms.
The problem here is that if metformin is recalled, there could be serious consequences for type 2 diabetics.
Yes, there are many other alternatives and other medication classes, but many of them have side effects, are more expensive, and some of the newest ones may not even be covered by insurance.
So, we have seen conflicting reports recently concerning a very important medication. Does it help decrease cancer, nothing but cancer, or take part in a potential danger of causing cancer?
Big news, of course, this week has to do with the House passing votes on impeachment of the President of the United States. Still, on both sides of the debate, there are persons who have refused to change their minds on his guilt from what they had prior to the House vote.
This leads to the question, why is it so that made people change their mind?
You yourself have probably seen this many times in conversations with both family and friends.
So now, a new study looks at participants' brain activity as they compare their own opinion to others. Find out why it can be so very difficult to change someone's mind.
Have you ever heard the term confirmation bias? Well, whether or not we like to admit it, each and every one of us is liable to exhibit this particular type of bias. We can see this very often For example, when conservative thinking people tend to listen to conservative radio or watch conservative TV news. The same goes for those with a liberal bent.
That is, we are more likely to seek people and information that appear to agree with our own bent. Also helps to explain, at least in part, why race can be so stressful and often unrewarding.
It just is that individuals are usually more inclined to stick to their own ideas, sometimes even when faced with solid evidence against them. So what happens in the brain that makes people unlikely to change their opinion? Well, time for the research. The investigators from City University and University College London, as well as the Virginia Tech Carilion and the Museum of Science and Industry, questioned what exactly happens in the brain that makes people unlikely to change their opinions. Their results were published in a magazine called Nature Neuroscience.
People, of course, are more other expressed high confidence than low. This seems like a no-brainer.
However, their studies also found that in many cases, people refuse to believe the ideas put forth by others, regardless of who they are and how strong and evidence-based they are.
A good example concerns the fact that last decade, climate science have expressed greater concern on climate change.
Yet the percentage of the population that believes this notion to be true has dropped over that same period of time. But the researchers wanted to find out, why is it so hard to convince people to change their opinions? Usually, we try not to describe the research, but just to give you their results. But this time, we found it particularly interesting. The researchers recruited 42 participants.
They first split the participants random pair, showed them images of properties listed on a real estate website. Then they asked each person to decide how much they thought asking price of these various houses was.
Every participant then had to decide how much they would be willing to invest in each one of those properties. Finally, the researchers asked the participant pairs to undertake functional MRI scans. Paired participants lay in twinned scanners that faced each other with a glass screen dividing them.
On the side of the screen that was facing them, each participant in a pair could see images of the property as well as their asking price and how much they said they would be willing to invest.
After these reminders, the screen showed what their partner had said, their house value estimates, and the sum they would be willing to pay for those properties. The researchers found that when the partners agreed with their evaluation of the property value, they would be more likely to say then that they would be willing to invest more in those houses, especially if their partners had said they would invest larger sums.
Yet, when the partnered participants disagreed about the property value, their opinions would fail to influence each other's final as to how much to invest a house.
Now, this was the case even when a disagreeing partner said they would pay a higher sum for the property, suggesting a high level of confidence in their evaluation of the house. Brains seem to fail to encode opposing views. Now, getting back to the functional MRI scans.
It appears that the brain area involved in evaluating and absorbing someone else's ideas is the posterior medial prefrontal cortex.
Brain activity in the posterior medial prefrontal cortex fluctuated depending on the strength of the partner's conviction, as suggested by the value of the investment that they were willing to make. However, this was only the case when paired participants agreed about the value of the house.
They were in disagreement. There was no change in brain activity in the posterior medial prefrontal cortex.
The result of the study was that when people disagree, their brains fail to encode the quality of the other person's opinion, giving them less reason to change their mind. By the way, this is also exactly the same area in the brain that plays an important role in decision-making processes.
And it is the fact that our brain knows the strength or urgency of ideas that contradict our own that may explain why so many people are likely to perceive establishing a gap themselves and individual different ideas and belief systems.
So, we humans make most of our decisions based on information received from others. The identified bias in using the strength of others' opinions is likely to have a profound effect on human behavior. This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I've been the medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center for the past 33 years. We're located at 3604 Southside Boulevard, just two blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection between the Pottsburg Post Office and the Tulsa Welding School. We will treat your pains, sprains, and strains. Our practice emphasizes chronic pain management as well as anti-aging medicine. We also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you would like to make an appointment or ask any questions about Southside Medical Center, please call us at 641-4411. That's 641-4411. Southside Medical Center, where your health is our primary care. Welcome back to the Hey Doc Show.
You have problems with sleep. You have problems either getting to sleep or staying asleep or even both.
Well, part of the problem could be your diet. If you have ever experienced insomnia, then you know how it can negatively affect your health and your well-being. The findings of a new study suggests that refined carbohydrates contribute to insomnia among older females.
According to the National Sleep Foundation, up to 40% of people in the United States experience some insomnia a year.
That's almost half the country. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, that's the CDC, short sleep duration and sleep disruption are associated with cardiovascular problems, diabetes, and depression, just to name a few. A lot of money is used to treat insomnia with drugs. And insomnia can be treated with cognitive behavioral therapy. But this too can be expensive, and it often is not treating the cause. But by identifying other factors that lead to insomnia, we may be able to treat at least one of the causes of insomnia and alleviate it in many people very cost-effectively.
To understand whether or not there really is a link between dietary choices and the risk of insomnia, the investigators looked for any association between different diets and sleep disruption.
They found a link between a higher risk of insomnia and a diet rich in refined carbohydrates. You know what these are. They include foods with added sugars, soda, white rice, and white bread. But there's a caveat to these results from that study. I call it the chicken or the egg paradox. It was unclear, at least from the research, whether the consumption of refined carbohydrates led to insomnia or that people who experienced insomnia were more likely to consume refined carbs, especially sugary foods.
Blood sugar is raised quickly, body reacts by it, and the resulting drop in blood sugar can lead to the release of hormones such as adrenaline and cortisol. Both of these hormones can interfere with sleep.
Remember that fruits and vegetables, which naturally contain sugar, are unlikely to raise blood sugar levels nearly as quickly as foods containing added sugars.
This is because natural foods are also high in fat, which means that the body absorbs the sugar more slowly, preventing a spike in blood sugar levels.
Indeed, the female participants who had diets rich in vegetables and whole fruits, but not fruit juices, did not have an increased risk of insomnia. When we talk about fruits, we do not mean the fruit juices. They have the carbohydrates without the fiber, so they are more likely to cause insomnia.
Since all fruits contain sugar, the fiber in them slows the rate of absorption to help prevent spikes in blood. Dietary culprit triggering women's insomnia was the highly processed that contained larger amounts of refined sugar that aren't found naturally in food.
You may have noticed that I said women's insomnia. That's only because, at least in this study, the researchers only worked with females aged 50 and over. But the researchers still believe that the findings could also apply to males and people of other ages.
Peanut butter, we like peanut butter. Peanut butter, that's what we like best.
Yes, peanut butter can be called a nutrient-dense food, because they contain vegetable proteins and healthful fats.
But overeating peanut butter Just like overeating, most other may increase the number of calories and fat in your diet.
If a person is eating more calories than they need, they certainly may gain weight. Peanut butter can be a nutritious food when people eat the right amount. In such instances, peanut butter may actually help a person with weight loss.
But rather than talk about how overeating peanut butter can be dangerous to your health, we want to discuss ways in which adding peanut butter to your diet can help with your weight problem.
2 tablespoons of peanut butter contains around 190 calories and 16 grams of fat, which is 21% of a person's recommended daily value of fat. Although peanut butter contains high levels of fat, it does contain low levels of saturated fats and significant amounts of the good fats that are really helpful for the body. Peanut butter may also help people feel fuller, so they may actually not need to eat as much.
Researchers in a new study found that peanut butter was associated with mild weight loss when individuals consume it in place of some carbohydrates.
Peanut butter also contains high levels of protein. A small study looked at nutritional strategies employed by 51 competitive bodybuilders and found that they consumed more protein and carbohydrates and lower amounts of fat. According to some researchers, the recommended dietary protein intake for bodybuilders in the off-season is 0.7 up to 1.3 grams per pound of body weight per day.
Another study published in Obesity showed that a high-protein diet was effective in helping male participants lose weight and body fat while preserving lean body mass.
Since bodybuilders strive for high muscle mass and lean body mass, peanut butter and other types of nut butter could be a beneficial food choice. But the real question is, for the rest of us, can peanut butter help us lose weight? There seems to be an association between those who eat nuts daily, including peanuts, which, by the way, are not nuts, and a lower risk of obesity.
Last 5-year study showed that those who ate the most amount of nuts, again, including peanuts, gained less weight and had a lower risk of having obesity over 5 years.
And people who eat nuts regularly may have a higher resting energy expenditure. People with higher resting energy expenditure may burn more calories during a non-active period. This calorie-dense and high-fat food can help people feel full. And when people feel full, they're less likely to continue eating. Although peanut butter is high in calories, people may just be less likely to overeat.
These findings suggest peanuts and peanut butter, along with all the other nuts, can be a helpful food for people who want to lose weight due to its high protein content.
Your next question may be timing. In other words, when is the best time to eat peanut butter? And according to the Journal of the International Society of Sports Nutrition, consuming protein 30 minutes before sleeping may also aid in building muscle. However, this research focused on casein protein, not protein from nuts. The researchers state that eating protein after exercising is also beneficial. Maybe what we need is a way to compare various foods in nutritional value.
Remember that there is regular and lower calorie peanut butter, also peanut butter with added sugar.
Natural peanut butter has twice the fiber and, of course, less sugar than the peanut butter with added sugar. Some brands with added sugar may contain as much as 6 grams of sugar per 2 tablespoons. So natural peanut butter is a more healthful option because it simply contains less sugar. And processed peanut butter may have additional ingredients, just like sugar. For example, hydrogenated vegetable oil, salt, and even molasses.
Of course, some people have an allergy to peanuts, and therefore they should avoid peanut butter and try alternative nut or seed butters.
I'd like you, our listeners, to know that I am one of several physicians right here in the Jacksonville area that has received the certification to recommend medical marijuana to those patients with certain qualifying diagnoses. For more information, you can call our office at 641-4411. We have also set up a special website at CompassionateCareJax.com where you can get a whole lot more information on medical marijuana. We've come to the end of another Hey Doc show.
So, from all of us here at Southside Medical Center, have a happy and healthy weekend. Goodbye.